Hi, this is Winners Chapel International, New York. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and motivates you. Please make sure you subscribe to get new messages every week. Enjoy the message.
Our focus for Sunday service is going to be understanding the cost and cure of ungodliness. Understanding the cost. Ungodliness has a cost. Very dangerous cost. But we can also be delivered from ungodliness. So we're going to be looking at, in all our services beginning from this morning, we're going to be unfolding it one after the other. So you don't want to miss any service this month. It's going to be so amazing. Understanding the cost and cure of ungodliness. And I'm taking part one in this service. And our reference scripture is Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20 to 24. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20 to 24. The soul that sinneth, he shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked return from all his sins that he has committed and keep all my statutes and do what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he has committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, said the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committed iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he has done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. Say, God forbid. Now, we must understand that nothing of value is ever free. Godliness is at a cost. Righteousness is not just what we believe or declare, but what we do. So this morning, necessity is placed upon us to walk righteously. It's at a cost. Nothing that has value. If the Bible says godliness is profitable in all things, then it's not cheap. It's not something we just do nothing and get. It is at a cost. And that's what God is going to be showing us all throughout this month. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, the Bible says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man has found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he has, and buyeth that field. Praise the Lord. So there is a responsibility that is placed upon us that this month to live a godly life if we want to enjoy the fruit of godliness. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So there is what we need to do in order to be righteous. Agreed. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he said, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we can become the righteousness of the Father through him. But that is the foundational. And nobody completes a house by just building the foundation. Yes, foundation is very strong, it's very good, it's very vital, it's very important, it's very crucial, without which you cannot build a house. But you don't lay the foundation and claim to have completed the house. So that is righteousness. You cannot be righteous until you have received the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is the foundation. But you are not complete until you begin to live in righteousness. That's where the charismatics and the Pentecostal is missing is this day. They say, oh, when you are righteous, you are just righteous. Even if you are sinning, you are just righteous. Grace has covered you. There is nothing like that. Praise the Lord. Now, when you return to God, yes, grace will answer for you. But if you don't return to God and you claim that you received the righteousness of Christ, that's just the foundation. You have not completed the house. It says, little children, this is the Bible. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. So that's deception. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as God is righteous. No, now, but if you don't receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the foundational, and you try to be righteous, you can't do it. That's when the Bible says all your righteousness are like filthy rag before God. So you need to first accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we're going to get into that very shortly. So we must understand that. Now, Why do we exercise ourselves unto godliness? According to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, which is our reference scripture for the month, it says, "For bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Physical training, physical exercise profits little. I like people who try to keep shape, who try to keep fit. Praise the Lord. A lot of you wants to be like us. You need to, you know, engage me as your coach. Praise the Lord. To keep fit. I mean, I've been like this for like over, well, don't let me brag, amen. Some people don't like bragging. But it's all by grace of God, amen. But all of this is just little. But it's good. It's good to keep fit. Amen. Especially in the pandemic that you've not been going out and you have to really keep fit. Praise God. That's very important. But the Bible is saying that profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Now, among others, godliness. Now, let's put it this way. Godliness is profitable into all things, and then we must fight ungodliness if you want to enjoy the profitability of godliness. Now, why do we need to fight ungodliness? Look at what ungodliness does to our profitability. Number one, ungodliness blocks access to answered prayers. Now, God wants to answer your prayer, but you leave God without the ability to help you when you live in sin. Now, many have prayed, and God really wants to answer. But as long as you continue to live in sin, in ungodliness, He cannot answer, because ungodliness blocks our access to answered prayers. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 to 3, look at what the word says. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue have muttered perverseness." Look at that. God's hand can reach you, and He really wants to hit. He really wants to reach you. God's ears are opened unto you. But when you live in sin, that's why I love Apostle Paul. He said, "Can we continue in sin and say grace should abound?" You know the response? Say the response if you know it. God forbid. God forbid. So it's not possible. So if you are praying for anything, you must check your life. Is there any sin in my life? Now, that is not to say the reason why your prayers have not been answered is because of sin. But sin can also be the reason. Is somebody getting me this morning? Now, number two, ungodliness blocks access to revelation knowledge. Ungodliness blocks access to revelation knowledge. The way God relates with us, the way God changes our level, is by giving us revelation knowledge. The Bible says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and their honorable men are famished." Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. Now, lack of knowledge, lack of revelation knowledge destroys. Now, even if you bring it into the physical, if you are in a career and you don't know your job, do you think any employer is going to keep you? Now, if you are trained and you are trained and you are trained over time and you keep making the same error, do you think any reasonable employer is going to keep you? Are you going to keep any reasonable employee like that if you are an employer? No. The same way, God relates with us by knowledge. If you don't know the word of God, you may not be able to take advantage of what God has in stock for you. And the Bible says, "Those who do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." So if you want to do exploit, you need revelation. You need knowledge, revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is the one that is revealed, is rhema. The normal knowledge is the one you are trying to read the Bible just to gain, to know the stories, to know everything. But from what you are reading, from the knowledge you are gaining, general knowledge, the Holy Spirit will just bring light unto you. And it will just bring a scripture to you, and that will be your own world. It will open your eyes to it. That's revelation. And that's what brings people into their realm of breakthrough. That's what brings people into their turnaround as we are celebrating a turnaround banquet this morning. So revelation knowledge. But when you are living in sin, there's no access. You can't have access into revelation. You will just be reading the Bible like a storybook. And that's why you will see a lot of theologians. They know the Bible from every... In fact, I don't go before theologian and, you know, try to argue anything with them. They know there's a particular sect or group of religion. I'm not going to mention the name. If they meet you and you meet them and you are trying to... They know the Bible from cover to cover. So, I mean, there's no point to argue with them. But that is just general knowledge, basic knowledge. But revelation knowledge is bringing rhema from the logos. The logos is a general word. The rhema is what God is saying from what the word he has written. But if you are living in sin, all you can have to the Bible is the logos. You can't have the rhema. You can't have revelation knowledge. And you need rhema for a change of level. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23, the Bible says, "Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you." I will make known my words unto you. That's why you see some individuals, they are passing through hardness, not hardship. Because the believer doesn't pass through hardship, hardness. You might be passing through a situation that it looks like, has God forgotten me? Is this thing? Why is it? Why are things so difficult like this? God is just equipping you. God is sharpening you. But in that kind of situation, you see some people, they are so excited. And you wonder what's making this kind of person excited like this in this kind of predicament. It's because he has seen something you have not seen. That was the kind of thing Bishop David Oyedepo saw a long time ago when he was not even rich. And God said he should go and teach the people prosperity. And he looked at himself and he said, "Who am I to go teach the people prosperity?" And God gave him light from the Bible that it's not you, but it's what Christ has done. You just go and deliver it. And he started declaring it. And he declared, "Yea, I cannot be poor." That's revelation knowledge. But if anyone is living in sin, you cannot enjoy that. Number three, ungodliness steers unrest. That is, ungodliness takes one's peace. With ungodliness, you cannot have peace. And if you don't have peace, you cannot enjoy the best of God. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, it says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, unto the wicked." You need peace to enjoy good health. You need peace to enjoy good life. You need peace to enjoy all the resources God has for you. But when you are living in sin, you can't have peace. Because ungodliness steers unrest. It blocks our access to peace. But when you live in righteousness, you have the peace of God. The Bible says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever." Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. Now, look at another work of ungodliness. Ungodliness blocks access to divine wisdom. Ungodliness blocks access to divine wisdom. And you know, wisdom is the principle. Wisdom. Now, when in this country you understand the principle and you understand the interest, if you pay down your principle, your interest will definitely come down. Whichever thing you have, principle. Principle is very key. So the Bible is saying wisdom is the principle. So in everything you do, you need to grab God's wisdom. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord. If you look at the example of Joseph, it was because of the fear of God that God gave him wisdom. In Genesis chapter 39 and verse 9, the Bible says, "There is none greater in this house," Joseph speaking, "than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me," talking about his master, Bedi, talking about the wife of Potiphar. "Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph recognized that act as great wickedness against God because he has the fear of God. The fear of God is having the consciousness of God. That nobody might be seeing you. There may not be cameras, surveillance camera all around, but God is there looking at your action. Nobody might know what you are thinking. You might be smiling at somebody. You might be saying something nice at someone, but yet you are saying the opposite in your heart. The fear of God will tell you that God is judging your heart. God is judging your action. So, you need to embrace the fear of God, because ungodliness will block access to wisdom, which is the foundation for, it will block the access, ungodliness will block access to wisdom. And wisdom is the principal thing. If you read through the book of Proverbs chapter 3 and chapter 8, you see everything that wisdom can deliver. Wisdom is the best thing anything can ever desire. The Bible says all the things that a man can ever think of. You want to think of a house, you want to think of great business, you want to think of good health, it says it cannot be compared to divine wisdom. But when you live in sin, you cannot enjoy divine wisdom, because unrighteousness will block your access to divine wisdom. Even it takes wisdom to reign. It takes wisdom to be a unit head. It takes wisdom to be a statutory body head. It takes wisdom to be a pastor. It takes wisdom to be a business owner. It takes business to be the manager in the office. Otherwise, you're going to be managing just 3 people and everything will always be lopsided, because there's no wisdom. Meanwhile, someone that is managing 10,000, 50,000 is at rest because he has the wisdom. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, every form of iniquity, every form of ungodliness, stopping and blocking your access to divine wisdom is therefore destroyed this morning. In the name of Jesus. Now, how do we deal with forces of ungodliness? Having known how ungodliness stops us from enjoying the best of God, how do we deal with it? Number one this morning, we must purpose to live a godly life. It starts from your determination. It starts from your purpose. Now, nobody can help you without you. You have to make a decision. You have to make a determination that I am going to live to please God. I am going to live my life for God, regardless of all external forces. Joseph would have had an excuse. I mean, he would have had a genuine excuse that, oh, Lord, can you see? Is this woman, she's trying to force me, and if I don't do it now, I don't know what can happen to me. Lord, you can see. Like some of us, we do have excuses. Lord, you know, it's my boss. If I don't do it now, I'm going to be fired. You are not the first person to be fired for righteousness. Oh, Lord, you know, if I don't join them now, they may come back and get at me. You are not the first person they've gotten at. You have a choice. You have a choice. He said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. In every situation, your choice matters a lot. Now, look at this example. They brought Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego to Babylon. Oh, they had the opportunity in the king's palace to eat the king's food, to do like the Babylonians, to enjoy the pleasure of Babylon. And now, Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not eat the king's portion. Why? Because he wants to honor God. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So you have to take a chance. You have to take your stand, rather. You have to take your stand. There will always be temptation. I was sharing at the WSF yesterday with a new outline. Temptation is not a sin. Falling in temptation is the sin, right? That's why Jesus Christ told the disciples to pray, lead us not into temptation. What he's saying is that help us not to fall into temptation. So there will always be temptation from everywhere, from opposite sex, from your career, from your business, from your neighborhood, from your business partners. But you have to stand your ground. When it comes to business, don't say, well, I leave church outside of it. When it comes to business, don't say 50-50. God is 50, then business is 50. So I need to do it the way it is being done in the business. Like, no, there are still righteous businessmen. There are still righteous career men who are ready to stand their ground. And I pray in the name of Jesus, you are joining that company this morning. Purpose to live a godly life. Make your mind to live a godly life. Number two, we must watch and pray to stay godly. You are not just praying, you're also watching. The word watch does not really mean, it's not limited to fasting. Most times, watch means to fast. But this time around, watch and pray means you also stand very firm on your determination. You also be very, very sensitive. As you are praying, you pray with all form of sensitivity. You abide by your determination. You abide by your oath. You watch out where you go. You watch where you stand. You are praying. Don't also go to where you can fall into temptation. Don't do things that will make you fall into error. I heard this said by one of our fathers in the faith. He said, I will not even position myself to be lied against. I will not position myself to be lied against. You know, you can say, well, they lied against me. Maybe you position yourself in a way they can lie against you. If you're always going into a lady's house or giving a lady a lift every time from work home, and is sitting by your side every time, if somebody says you are friending that person, I mean, the person is right, even though it's lie, but you position yourself to be lied against. That's just an example. Praise the Lord. Is somebody hearing me? So watch and pray. Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Number three, we must engage the sanctifying power of the word. We must engage the sanctifying power of the word of God. The word of God is like water. Now, thank God for pandemic. Everyone knows what sanctification is now. You know you have to wash your hands several times. You know you have to use hand sanitizers. If we check all your cars right now, bottles and jars of sanitizers. In your house, jars of sanitizers. Deep cleaning everywhere. So you have to go into the deep cleaning of the word of God. The word of God is a sanctifier. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify us with the truth, for thy word is the truth. John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is the truth. Always go into the word. I don't think a day can pass without me being the word. I mean, that's my sustainability. The written word and the spoken word. Just being under the anointing of the word of God. Hearing and reading and listening to the word of God. And there's no excuse. Mobile apps and digital devices have made it very easy. You can be hearing the word, reading. You can be hearing anointed teachings all the time. Stay in the word. What you are doing is that your life is being sanctified by the word. Especially the direct word of God sanctifies. Sanctifies. Paul speaking in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word of God. I believe everybody took shower before coming to church this morning. Now, at least 90%. I mean, there are some people they don't care about early morning shower. And there's no law that actually says to shower in the morning, though. Although I'm not in that school of thought. You know, but I know some people can argue that well, where is the law that it is morning that you should shower? You can shower in the afternoon. You can shower in the night. Or you can shower twice a day. Or you can decide to shower once every 2 days. Don't join that company, especially in this coronavirus. Praise the Lord. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And I pray in the name of Jesus, as you are hearing this word of God, and as you'll be hearing the word all throughout this month, you will be completely cleansed in the name of Jesus Christ. So take responsibility. Now we have the books of the month. We're going to send a soft copy to us in case we don't have the hard copy, so that you can also read it. As you are reading the books of the month, you are reading the word of God, your life will never remain the same. I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, beginning from today, you will continue to live a godly life. Every ungodliness will be destroyed in your life. And I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, this month, you will enjoy the fruits of godliness. You will increase the fruit of godliness, increase in the fruit of godliness. And I decree in the name of Jesus, you will be profitable in all things. Maritally, you will be profitable. Careerally, you will be profitable. Ministerially, you will be profitable. Business-wise, you will be profitable. Family life, marital life, you shall be profitable. In the name of Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a big hand of praise this morning. Now, today is our turnaround banquet. Let's consider what God has for us. It's a turnaround banquet. Banquet means like a buffet. You come and take as much as you want. Today, God is going to turn somebody's situation around. Hear me. You came into this service hopeless. Or you are hearing my voice right now, hopeless. I have good news for you. There is no hopeless situation. God said concerning Abraham, he said, "We even against hope, he believed in hope, and his story changed." Now, from what we read this morning, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, were like them that dream. I decree in the name of Jesus, in this service this morning, everything that has refused to turn for you will turn for your good. One of the scriptures we read in the prayer this morning, Ezekiel 21, 27, he says, "He shall overturn and overturn and overturn until he comes to whose right it is, and it shall be given unto him." Is it turning to you this morning? Receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. God's blessing is turning to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Now we know our God is a turnaround God. He's a turnaround God. The earth was without form and void. And God turned everything around. God is going to turn somebody's life around this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Israel was in bondage in the land of Egypt. But God turned their captivity around like a dream of the night. I decree in the name of Jesus Christ. One night, 430 years of captivity, of bondage was over. I decree in the name of Jesus, it doesn't matter how long you've been under bondage. It doesn't matter how long that sickness has been. It doesn't matter how long you have experienced stagnation. It doesn't matter how long you have been believing God for the fruit of the womb. It doesn't matter for how long you have been believing God for marriage partner. It doesn't matter how long you've been believing God for career, for business breakthrough, for exploit. I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, your turnaround has come today. Let me hear your believing amen. In Psalm 105, verse 37, talking about the Israel, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. That's a turnaround. Those who have been under captivity for 430 years, but God turned their situation around. I decree in the name of Jesus, God is turning your situation around. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, how do we experience turnaround? How do we experience turnaround? We experience turnaround by doing what God says. Doing what God says to do is what entitled us to our turnaround package. Look at this story in John chapter 9, verse 1 to 8. There was this man that was born blind. And Jesus told him that he should go to Siloam. And he should go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And he did that. and his eyes was opened. Now, someone was blind who asked him to go and wash in a far place. Now, how do you expect him to get there? That's his own responsibility. So until we take responsibility, we may not be able to enjoy what God has in store for us. There is nothing like do nothing and get something. Now, we have to take responsibility. So what do we need to do to experience turnaround? Number one, we must make serving God our priority for living. Serving God must be our priority for living in order to experience turnaround. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12 to 15, the Bible says, "And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their hearts and with all their soul, that whosoever will not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swore unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced in the hold, for they had sworn with all their hearts, and sought with their old desire. And it was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest." How? Round about. That means God turned their life around. It doesn't matter how long you've been in that situation. I have something within me that is telling me this morning, God is changing your story. I say, God is changing your story. All it takes, make decision to serve God. And we have various opportunity to serve him. We have diverse opportunity to serve him. To serve him. Now, number two, in order to experience turnaround, we must keep loving God. We must keep loving God. Say with me, I will keep loving God. Keep loving God, and you prove that you do by loving what he loves. That is redemption of man's souls. If you want to prove that you love God, you must do what God loves. That's the redemption of man's soul. You must be a soul winner. And there are so many ways you can be a soul winner. There is a practical way. You are practical on the field. You are reaching out to souls practically on the field. Believe me, this opportunity abounds everywhere. I was privileged to meet a woman this week, and we're discussing, and she said, "Tell me about the Pentecostal." Oh, that's an opportunity. Opportunity. So I sat down, I relaxed. Then you open up the chapter, why not? So I started. Now at the end, I said, "Would you like me to pray for you?" She said, "Well, I'm a Jewish. I will believe in God. We don't believe in Christ. But just go ahead. We don't need to pray now, but just go ahead and continue to pray for me." I said, "No problem." And I've been praying for her. Now, the truth is, the Holy Ghost will convict her at some point, because the seed of the word has been sown. So you might face rejection or whatever. Just don't worry yourself. Your own is just to present the gospel. The Holy Spirit, you can't convict anyone. So just keep sowing the seed. We have a lot of testimonies. As you are sowing the seed, you are doing what God's love. God is confirming his word. Now, one of our pastors who has a team always going every week on mass evangelism and reaching out with food to the people and reaching out to them. There was an instant miracle that happened right there on the harvest field. I mean, that brings joy. Praise the Lord. And as you are doing that, God is turning your situation around. So you have opportunity. Now, say, "Oh, Pastor, I'm so shy. I just don't know. I don't know how to go to the field. I stay at home. I'm not even going out." You can pray. Praise the Lord. You can pray kingdom advancement prayer. Pray for people that are going on the field. Pray for souls. Pray that the Holy Ghost will continue to convict them. Praise God. Pray. Pray. You can use the digital device. Send the word. Share the word. Do what God loves. If you want to experience turnaround, And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, someone here this morning, we experience supernatural turnaround. Hear what the word says. Jesus told Peter in John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. So when they are dying, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, that thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. That's the proof. You continue to share my word. You continue to reach out. And I pray in the name of Jesus, as we do that this morning, we'll continue to experience supernatural turnaround. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I decree in the name of Jesus this morning, someone will experience marital turnaround. Someone under the sound of my voice will experience family turnaround. Someone under the sound of my voice will experience turnaround in your health. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I decree someone under the sound of my voice will experience turnaround in your business, turnaround in your career. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, every negative situation in your life that you don't want, an end has come to it today. Jump to your feet this morning. If you are blessed, lift up your voice and appreciate the Lord. Appreciate the God of turnaround. In the name of Jesus Christ, appreciate the God of turnaround. The God that can turn every situation around. In the name of Jesus, give him praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Please take your seat one moment. I want to give you an opportunity this morning for a feedback. Now you have heard the word of God. Now you want to respond back to God. Now, we have mentioned two things this morning. We have talked about godliness, which opens door for profitability in all areas, and how to deal with ungodliness. And now we have also mentioned how you can experience supernatural turnaround. But these two things are not possible until you are in Christ. Remember, I said, you must receive the righteousness of the one who has no sin as your foundational righteousness before you can continue to do right, before you can continue to live in righteousness. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, you might have been going to church. You might have been connected online. But you need to personally ask him to come in your life and be your Savior. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. Please say this prayer with me wherever you are. Whether you are in here right now or you are watching me virtually. Please bow your head and say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know I have sinned. I'm falling short of your glory. Forgive me all of my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Now I open my heart unto you. Come in. Be my Savior and my Lord. I willingly surrender to you. I will serve you and follow you all the days of my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. I'd like you to pray 1 minute this morning. Rise up with me. Look at any area of your life that you need turnaround. It says you have stayed too long on this mountain. Turn ye northward. That was the commandment of God. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, as you cry unto God this morning, there's going to be a turn, a sharp turn in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lift up your voice and begin to declare your turnaround. Marital turnaround, financial turnaround, turnaround in your health. Turn around over your children. Turn around for your husband. Turn around for your wife. Turn around for your parents. Turn around in your career. Turn around in your health. Even in your immigration matter, turn around. Even in that court case, turn around. Lift up your voice. Make sure you are praying. He's a God of turnaround and he's here with us this morning. It's a banquet. So whatever turnaround you want, begin to take it. Begin to take it. He said, from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and only the violent take it by force. Take it right now. Take it right now. Take it right now. Take it right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, begin to possess your turnaround, your marital turnaround. You want to be married, begin to receive your turnaround. You want to be fruitful, fruit of the womb, begin to take your turnaround. Laproskatolegerosh akatodia. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Now, we're going to pray for righteousness. Say, righteousness is profitable unto all things. In a minute, lift up your voice to God. Wherever you know that you have failed God, ask for mercy. Now, it's not that you are being born again right now, but now you know certain areas that are not right in your life. Begin to ask for mercy right now. Begin to ask for mercy. And now begin to pray for grace to live a righteous life in the name of Jesus Christ. Lift up your voice. Ask for mercy. Any area that you know you are defective, any area you know you are falling, don't pretend. He said, if we claim to have no sin, we have deceived ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, it's righteous and just to forgive us. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. As you have prayed, you will return with your testimonies. In Jesus' mighty name. Give them-
Thank you for listening to Winners Chapel International New York's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share the link with your friends and family. Visit us online at www.winnerschapelny.org and fellowship with us online on our YouTube channel, Winners Chapel International New York. Have a blessed week. God loves you. See you next time.